This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Wednesday's headlines, and we begin with national security, as key members of the president's national security team are telling members of Congress to expect al-Qaeda to at least attempt a terrorist attack in this country sometime over the next few months. It happened before the Senate Intelligence Committee, chaired by California Democrat Dianne Feinstein. She simply went right down the row on the panel, asking the likes of the Director of National Intelligence, Dennis Blair, and the Director of the CIA, Leon Panetta, if they believed that al-Qaeda was likely to attempt a terrorist attack anytime soon.
The question is, what is the likelihood of another terrorist attempted attack on the U.S. homeland in the next 3 to 6 months? High or low? Director Blair?
An attempted attack, the priority is certain, I would say.
Mr. Panetta?
I would agree with that.
Mr. Mueller?
Agree.
General Burgess?
Yes, ma'am. Agree.
And with a virtual certainty of another attempted terrorist attack, that reverts the debate back to what the proper policy ought to be in terms of gathering intelligence from those apprehended while trying to commit a terrorist attack, namely the Christmas Day bomber. There's been a huge debate in recent weeks over the fact that the man arrested following his attempt to blow up that airliner over Detroit was only interrogated for about 50 minutes before being read his Miranda rights, at which point he promptly clammed up. However, reports over the past couple of days now suggest that, at the urging of his family, Mr. Abdulmutallab has now agreed to cooperate with officials and is speaking quite freely. That is not satisfying Republicans, though, who say that a lot of time has been lost in the months since the apprehension of Abdulmutallab. They say it's wrong to treat terrorists like common criminals, and even if Abdulmutallab is talking now, we've lost a month to gather and act on actionable intelligence. All of this comes with the backdrop of the possible moving the venue for the criminal trial of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and his 9/11 co-conspirators. Republicans, as you heard on this program yesterday, are now trying to defund any effort to prosecute KSM and his colleagues in criminal court. They want it before a military tribunal, preferably back at Guantanamo Bay. Speaking Wednesday with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell, Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch says trying these people in criminal court is the wrong way to go.
We spent $75 million creating a state-of-the-art court right there at Guantanamo. It'd be a perfect place to try them. We then amended the military commission law so that it would be absolutely accurate in accordance with the Supreme Court.
Hatch, who has been on the Judiciary Committee for all of his years in the U.S. Senate, even serving for a time as chairman, says the bottom line here is that terrorists don't have constitutional rights.
Why should we treat these terrorists like regular citizens? Why should we give them the rights of regular citizens? These are enemy combatants. They are not civil criminals. They are enemy combatant terrorists.
Elsewhere up on Capitol Hill, the potential threat posed by Iran is also turning heads, including that of the ranking Republican on the Homeland Security Committee, Susan Collins of Maine. As she says, the recent saber-rattling by Iran and the promise of some major event on February 11th is time once again to focus on our policy towards them, which she says hasn't worked. Speaking also on MSNBC, Senator Collins says that while President Obama has tried to engage Iran, it clearly hasn't worked.
It appears that the president's efforts to engage Iran have not worked. I wish they had worked. And now it seems to me we need to work with our allies to come up with a tough sanctions regime.
Also on the military front, the debate goes on over what to do with the don't ask, don't tell policy. The Obama administration wants to end it, and Defense Secretary Robert Gates says a two-year process has now begun in order to make that happen. We are speaking with retired Lieutenant Army Colonel Robert McGinnis. Head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org to hear my conversation with him. He was on the military panel back in 1993 that approved the don't ask, don't tell policy, and he will explain why he believes it's very important for the Pentagon and others to carefully consider this decision, because he says there could be some very negative ramifications if, in fact, this policy is lifted and gays are allowed to openly serve in the military. In that same interview, Colonel McGinnis talks about also how the Obama administration is tasking the Pentagon more and more in the climate change effort, and how he believes that is taking our eye off the ball with some of the more immediate threats from our enemies around the world. On to the political front now, and just a few days after President Obama addressed House Republicans at their retreat in Maryland, the president today addressing Senate Democrats. Obviously a much friendlier audience, but the president once again sticking to his talking points for the most part. He says that we're in a very difficult economic situation right now, and that's almost entirely the fault of his predecessor.
After two wars, two tax cuts, prescription drug program, none of which were paid for, we faced a deficit of over $1 trillion, a debt over the next decade of $8 trillion before my administration spent a single dollar.
The president also responding to Republican claims that their ideas have been shut out of the legislative debate. They haven't even really been allowed to work at all on the crafting of this legislation. The president says that's not true, and it's the Republicans who are stonewalling.
You considered hundreds of Republican amendments and incorporated many of their ideas into the legislation that passed the Senate. So when I start hearing that we should accept Republican ideas, let's be clear, we have. What hasn't happened is the other side accepting our ideas.
The president also saying that the Democrats shouldn't be wringing their hands over the loss of the Massachusetts Senate seat once held by Ted Kennedy and won by Republican Scott Brown, who has yet to be seated, by the way. But the president says just because the Democrats can't break a filibuster by themselves doesn't mean they can't get a whole lot done.
Our party's gone from having the largest Senate majority in a generation to the second largest Senate majority in a generation. And we've got to remember that.
The president's agenda has caused several different congressional Democrats to be in dire straits when it comes to their reelection efforts this year, as evidenced by the fact that in the Q&A session, all but one of those handed the microphone to ask the president a question is on the ballot this November. No coincidence there. The president, though, despite the poll numbers, urging Congress to finish the job on controversial issues like health care and banking reform.
And so as we think about moving forward, I hope we don't lose sight of why we're here. We've got to finish the job on health care. We've got to finish the job on financial regulatory reform.
On the automotive front, the Toyota recall recently of eight different lines of vehicles because of sticking gas pedals has now reached the halls of Congress. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood testifying on the Hill today, and he says if people are driving Toyotas and haven't had them addressed, that they need to do so now.
My advice is, if anybody owns one of these vehicles, stop driving it, take it to the Toyota dealer, because they believe they have the fix for it.
Well, that did not engender a very good reaction from Toyota or a lot of other people, and Secretary LaHood tried to clarify his comments after the hearing.
So what I said in there was obviously a misstatement. What I meant to say, and what I thought I said was, if you own one of these cars, or if you're in doubt, take it to the dealer, and they're going to fix it.
And finally, two more stories to tell you about on the interview front today at worldnetdaily.com and dateline.radioamerica.org. First of all, my interview with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. In just the past few days, more and more revelations that are coming out and serve to undermine the scientific consensus that was supposed to have been in place to support the climate change agenda. We'll be talking about two of the latest issues to come up, which cast a whole lot of doubt on the science that has been behind this entire movement. And on the lighter side, my conversation with four-time Super Bowl champion Joe Montana. He's got a few party tips for you, but we'll also talk about his experience in the big game and how the Colts and Saints match up this coming Sunday. Again, all of that at worldnetdaily.com, dateline.radioamerica.org. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.